In this time of the year, we turn our thoughts once again to the wonder of all wonders, the coming of God's Son into the world as the Savior. As the Church enters into the last days, days foretold in Scripture as abounding in evil, days when men lift themselves up in pride against the Most High and in defiance of His word and law, in such days, the memory of the birth of Jesus Christ grows in its beauty and in its comfort for the Church. For the coming of God's Son into the world is the message of God's invincible and conquering grace, a grace which redeems from the earth's darkness a people chosen and precious unto God, and gives them eternal life and victory. As sin increases, and as ungodliness becomes bold and defiant, our joy as children of God in the truth of Jesus Christ also increases, for the gospel is that Jesus, the Christ, has been born. He has died upon the cross, risen again, ascended up into heaven, sits at the right hand of God, and returns in judgment. The birth of Jesus Christ shouts the message of victory and of comfort to the people of God. It tells us that God has come in power and great glory and has saved His Church and obtained for us everlasting and eternal victory. Today, I would like to consider the birth of Jesus Christ from the point of view of one of His names, the name Emmanuel. All in all, there may be as many as 150 names of Jesus recorded in the Scripture. All of these names intended to show us the majesty of His person and the glory of His work. And when by faith we say with confidence with the Apostle, 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day," then we have that confidence in Him because we know Him as He's revealed in His names. The names of Jesus tell us who He is. And so He's called Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. He's called the Christ, the anointed of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's our Lord. He's the Word. He's the Good Shepherd. And on we could go. And He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. There is no name that our Savior bears which so comforts us as that name Emmanuel. It explains exactly who He is, God with us, and what He came to do, that we, sinners, might be forever with God. Emmanuel declares to us a wonder, that He came so that God might forever be with us and we forever with God. And if you know Him as Emmanuel, then no matter today how lonely and how oppressed, how miserable and how tempted you may be, you have hope, joy, and comfort to belong to Emmanuel, and to know Emmanuel, God with us, is hope and peace and joy, fitted for every situation, every moment of this present life. The word Emmanuel, first of all, conveys to us a miracle. The most profound miracle imaginable. God is with us. This is the most profound truth in all of the Bible. Emmanuel brings to us a truth that is not a miracle, but the miracle. It is God uniting Himself to human flesh. Now, in a sense, this is true of every birth. Every human birth is a miracle of God. In the human birth, we have a human being that God creates and makes at the moment of conception, and that God alone may take. We may say that every human birth is a great mystery and miracle. But the birth of Jesus is the miracle. For the birth of Jesus Christ came by virgin birth. It was God who came to unite himself to human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. A virgin birth is very difficult to grasp for children and for all of us, for we all have a father and a mother. Maybe you didn't know your father. Maybe your father deserted you. But every single child ever born on earth has a human father and a human mother, except Jesus. Oh, he has a mother. He was born of a woman. He had a mother, Mary. We read in Luke 2, verse 7, that Mary brought forth her firstborn son, that she gave birth to him. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in her womb and developed for 9 months in all of the marvel of the birth of a child and was born of a woman. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But Jesus did not have a human father. God told Mary through the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 that she would indeed have a baby, and that this baby would be God's Son, the Son of the Highest, who would sit upon the throne of David forever. And she asked the angel the question, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I am not married." And Gabriel replied, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy child that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, Mary, will envelop you, will come upon you, and will conceive this child within you." Mary had no sexual relationship with a man before Jesus was born. God conceived the child within her womb. Jesus had no human father. This was all confirmed by the angel to Joseph, Mary's betrothed, the man to whom she, Mary, was promised in marriage. Joseph, her betrothed, found out that Mary was going to have a baby. And, of course, the question was, who is the father? Joseph's conscience was clear. He knew that it was not him, and so he was minded to put her away. But the angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God has worked a miracle. The infinite God has joined himself to the finite in the womb of the Virgin. The Almighty had united himself to flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary." Emmanuel means Jesus is God with us. It means that Jesus is God and man. Now that's hard to understand, but it is so. If you had met Jesus, he looked like an ordinary man. We have no descriptions given us in the Bible about Jesus, but he was a man. He was born of the seed of David. He bore the characteristics of his ancestors and of his mother. He was a human man, but he also was God. God incarnate. The word incarnate means in the flesh. God in the flesh. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is now joined in human flesh. And therefore Jesus is also God. He is God with us. With us. He's a real, complete human, weakened man. And today also, though he sits at the right hand of God, he still has this real, complete human nature. It is glorified. It has been brought beyond the realm of death. It is immortal, but he still bears a human body in heaven. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, the verses 14 through 17, that in all things Jesus was made like unto us his brethren. He took part of flesh and blood. He did not take to himself the nature of an angel, but of the flesh and blood of the seed of Abraham. God did not prepare a special human nature for Jesus so that we would say that Jesus never had a cold or flu. No. He took upon himself a human nature just as our own. He was subject to to all things. He needed food and rest. He grew tired and weary, and yes, he could contract the cold and the flu. He was a man among men. He developed in the womb of his mother as a little child, and when he was born, you could hold him and you could touch him. When as a little boy he would cut his hand, it would bleed. He had a human brain, kidneys, lung, and heart. He had the resemblance, most likely, of his mother. Oh, there was something different. He was sinless. He had no sin in him. He was a holy child. God shone out of every action, word, and thought. He could say to his disciples, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." But though he was sinless, he was nevertheless completely human. He had a human soul. He had a human mind. He became like us in all things. Emmanuel tells us that Jesus is God, second person of the Trinity, the eternal, the everlasting God, now with us. It tells us that Jesus has two natures united in one person, the person of the Son of God, that he has a human nature, complete, real, sinless, and a divine nature. He is God of God. He is very God, and he is very man. The early church came to this truth through a great struggle. For the first 300 years after the apostles, many heresies arose around this very truth of Emmanuel. The devil hammered away at it. He hammered away at this one name, Emmanuel. He wanted the name Emmanuel to be erased from the church's confession. He wanted to rub it out of the pages of Holy Scripture. He wanted to distort the wonderful truth that it conveys. There were those in the early church who said that Jesus was not really human. He just appeared to be a man, like angels occasionally in the Old Testament would appear to become men. There were others who would say that he was not completely human. He did not have a human soul. There were those who arose to say that he was not God. Oh, he was God-like. He became the highest form of humanity. He became divine, but he was not of the essence of God. And on would go the heresies, and the battle raged. And yet, by God's grace, the church, studying the Scriptures, came to see the wonder of the truth of Emmanuel. God with us. Very God. Completely God. Truly God. God of God. God with us. A man. A human man, without sin, but yet a man, among men, Emmanuel, God with us. That's his name. The creator of the earth and all of the millions of galaxies who holds them within the palm of his hand became a man. The eternal came into time and united himself to human flesh. He was born as a babe in Bethlehem. This miracle is important. It's the most important thing that you will ever hear. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, who conceived him in the womb of the Virgin Mary, may also create in our hearts an understanding of this great truth, that we may bow down in wonder and in worship and see written in the name of Emmanuel all our salvation. Why is this important? Because only as God with us can he cover in the sight of God my sins, in which I was conceived and born. You who are listening to this radio program were born and conceived in sin. You are of yourself a corrupt, filthy, lost sinner, who deserves to be eternally damned in hell for your sins. It makes no difference who you are or your past, your accomplishments, your social standing, your race. You are a lost, depraved sinner of yourself. Now I know that the unbelieving world would scoff at that word and would have contempt at that word, and underneath the scoffing is a deep offense. There would be a wounded pride when we are told that we are by nature nothing but a depraved, corrupt, vile, evil sinner. And I know that you and I also, who by the grace of God now are the children of God, Christians, that yet in our nature we don't like to think of ourselves that way either. We all imagine that we are not that bad, at least not as bad as someone else. We can always find someone else who's worse than we are, and thereby tell ourselves that we're not that bad. But all of that will never alter the truth of what God has declared. You and I are dead, lost, corrupt, filthy, vile sinners. Listen to God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All the world is guilty before God. There is none that is good, no, not one. In sin did my mother conceive me. If you don't like that diagnosis, that you are a personally corrupt sinner of yourself, worthy of damnation and hell, you will have to talk to God about that. That's not my verdict. That's God's verdict. But He is called Emmanuel. And the whole gospel shines in all of its glory and power in that name. Emmanuel is the Savior that we need. Jesus is a man, for only a man can be the substitute for us. Only a man can represent us. By man, says the Scripture, came death. By man must also come the resurrection of the dead. Man must bring a payment for his sin to God. And Jesus is a man. He is a true man. He may represent us. And He is God. He is God with us. He is God in the flesh. And only God can bear away the wrath of God against our sin. Only God can sustain His wrath against our sin. If Jesus has a human father, if He is not very God of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin's womb, then Jesus will crumble and will be crushed and will be consumed under the blows of the holy wrath of God against sin. Only God can save. Isaiah 59, verse 16, "And He, God, saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore His arm brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness, it sustained him." Jesus is God of God, and therefore He is the Savior. There is only one who can cover in the sight of God the sin in which I was conceived and born, the sin which I have committed and continue to commit. That one is Emmanuel. He can represent me, for He is a man. And by grace, He was appointed of God to be my representative. And He can bear away the burden of my wrath and my sin, for He is God. He can make me live with God. He can make me know God. He can make me to be one with God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The wonderful comfort of Emmanuel is that it shows us the matchless love of God. The name Emmanuel reveals the love of God, which puts away our sins by placing those sins upon His own Son in our flesh. Now just think of that. God, perfect, eternal, almighty, absolutely without any lack, all-sufficient, holy and gracious. And man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, says the Bible? We were made from the dust, frail, dependent, and sinners on top of that. And yet God gave His Son. God's Son was united in our flesh. Why? That we might be forgiven our sins and brought nigh, near unto God. Herein is the love of God, that God gave His only begotten Son to be a propitiation, a covering for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10. Do you ever ask, where is the proof of God's love for me today? Do you ever say, All that I experience is darkness and cancer and sickness and hardship and economic loss and suffering and old age and troubles and woes and depression. Does God love me? And the answer of God will be one word, one name, Emmanuel. That's the answer. There is the assurance, God with us. Our sins pile up in our consciousness. Satan comes to accuse us of those sins. And by faith, we repeat one name, one word, Emmanuel. And Satan falls back and is confounded. For in this I know that God loves me, and that God is for me, and that God will preserve me. Emmanuel, Jesus, is God with us. The comfort is the perfect compassion of our Lord. We go to God as the Almighty God and Father in our prayer, and we ask, will He know? And we say, well, yes, in His omniscience, He certainly knows all things. But it's even more than that. He knows. For Jesus is God with us. In all points, says the book of Hebrews, Jesus was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows all our weaknesses and frailty. He knows what it is to be a human being on this earth. He went through the veil of tears and sorrows. He is touched with it all. And so the comfort is that we belong to an unfailing and perfectly good and faithful Savior. That is what matters. What matters is God with you? It does not matter, first of all, what you endure. It's not, first of all, the road that you must take that's the important thing, but what matters is who is with you on that road. It matters who is with you in your sorrow, in your trial, and at death's door. Do you know Him? Do you know Emmanuel? By the grace of God, do you put all your trust in Him? Do you love Him? Do you hear the wonder of God's grace? Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, so that we might be with God. Emmanuel, so that I shall never be left alone. Emmanuel, so that I have an answer to all of my sin. It's everything. It's heaven's hallelujah. His name is Emmanuel, God with us, that we forever may be with God. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word and pray that it may be a rich blessing to our hearts in this day. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.